spring reviews are back, baby. That's Bill Landis. I'm Austin Ward. This is the Podcast Daily. It's Tuesday. It's a trench Tuesday. Hey,
didn't even
think about it, but here we are. Had to wait to pick this back up. If we're going to talk offensive line, Bill's got to be here.
I was a little worried you'd do it without me.
I would, I would never do that.
I realized was foolish now, but I was worried.
That would have been a terrible show. Me and Berm talking about offensive linemen.
You guys know ball.
Not as much as you.
I fake it.
That's good. Well, fake it till you make it.
That's right.
That's the
Here I am.
That's what we're doing. It was a fascinating spring.
Yeah, it was. Like, I was trying to think of, like, the because I knew we were going to have this conversation, like, how I would want to, like, couch my overall thoughts on the offensive line. And I think the most important thing is that I feel significantly better about things this time. Or at this point, than I did at this point last year. If that makes sense. Did I say that right?
I don't know.
My brain's not working.
You are more confident about Ohio State's offensive line as we stand here today.
Yes.
Than you did a year ago leaving spring when it felt like that camp was largely a disaster.
It was a mess. Yeah. Like Josh Fryer spending all of spring playing a position that he was probably like never going to play at Ohio State at left tackle, not knowing who your center was going to be. Just a lot of questions there. And like there are questions now for sure. But and I'm not saying like Ohio State is going to be awesome on the offensive line this year either. But I think any reasonable person would feel at least a little bit better about where they are now compared to last year. But on the other side of that coin too is the question like, okay, that's true. That's probably true. Is it still going to be good enough? Which I think is also a fair question. So like I'm a little bit of two minds with this offensive line, but it did feel to me like a pretty productive spring, not in the sense that they're like a finished product coming out of it, because they're not. We don't know like who the starters are going to be on the right side of the line right now, or I guess theoretically at center either. But I do feel like they got some good work done, and I feel like they are coming out of spring with just like more guys who they think can play than they were at this time last year.
I mean, there were multiple practices last spring, and even in one of the two practices that we saw during training camp where Ohio State effectively could not practice.
Yeah.
Because what the defensive line was doing in drills to the offensive line.
Yeah, and I don't know that I ever felt that way. There were times, I guess, maybe when, like, the twos at times, and certainly the threes, but, like, that probably should be the case with the threes, because the threes are most often, like, true freshmen playing on the offensive line. But when it was ones-on-ones, in a little bit that we saw, and, like, we saw less practice this spring than we did last year, so, like, I guess take that into consideration when I'm saying this or when you're saying this. But, like, I didn't feel like the defensive line was, like, owning everything we watched, right? And it's not that the offensive line was dominating, but could have been worse. They could have been getting their butts kicked on every single snap like we saw last year, as you mentioned. But it did feel like at times they couldn't run a play unless they were doing 7-on-7. When they got in those situations where it was 11-on-11, it looked drastically different last year. And, JT and Jack and Tyleek, I guess, maybe like didn't play a ton this spring, and had they played more, maybe we'd be feeling differently. But there were times last year when it was the backups going against the first team offensive line and it didn't look great. So like I think collectively the group is better off, like much better off. That's probably the best indication of it. Is like it's like a feel thing. You watch practice and you don't think to yourself like, oh boy, that's a disaster happening down there with the offensive line group.
Well, and I think that those are a couple points in there that are worth mentioning and reiterating. JT, Jack, and Tyleek Williams, even Ty Hamilton, did not need a ton of reps. So are we evaluating every single one-versus-one opportunity at the same way that may have happened a year ago? No, we are not. But there was functioning movement from the ones, and the point that we were, I think, making here is that it is not a prediction that they are going to win the Joe Moore Award this year. We don't know what that's going to look like. It is just a comparison of the feeling, which was, like, unmistakable to leave those practices. I think we had a couple, maybe one in August, another one during maybe the Student Appreciation Day scrimmage where we were doing snap judgments, and people were like, what is wrong with these guys? They are just absolutely eviscerating the offensive line. But you left, and it was, like, the only thing that you could think of was that was one of the worst practices I think I've ever seen. Like, they were snapping the ball, and the play was over in, like, half of a second.
I believe maybe the time that was like most obvious and we got maybe the most blowback for that was in the summer. It was one of those split field practices where they weren't really doing anybody any favors by like not playing the starting offensive line together for a practice, and it got particularly ugly. Like trying to figure out like, oh, which of these quarterbacks looks the best, and it's like, well, the answer is none of them because they catch the ball and someone's in their face immediately after the snap. And that again,
whoever got a rep against the third team defensive
line, they looked great. Yeah, but like that. That did not feel like the case to me this spring, I guess, is like all I can say about it. Like, what does that mean? I don't know if that guarantees you anything, but it's a baseline level of competency that I think is higher than it was last year. But I think people maybe are more concerned with ceiling and Joe Moore Award and national championship stuff, which you should be. But at least from a starting point, I think they're okay right now.
What do you think will be the biggest difference in that? Where is it going to show up? I mean, I know that's hard to answer because we don't know what the configuration from center to right tackle is going to be. Mm-hmm. We can guess. We can give a projection. We'll both do that, I suppose. But like, I mean, how is that going to actually show up? Because I think there's a Chip Kelly-ness in my mind in thinking, again, to the coaches clinic, which we mentioned a week or two ago, that's like the scheme is probably going to help maybe more than like, more technical expertise or whatever. Because I think Justin Fry's done a fine job. And what he's elevated, I think, the overall talent of that room. Did they play perfectly a year ago? They did not. It's hard for me to really nail down where we're going to see the biggest difference in that.
Yeah, I guess maybe I would say, like, it'll maybe just look cleaner. And I think it's like a combination of all the things you just said. Like, it is everyone getting better with their technique. It's guys just simply being a year older now in their college football career. But then I think like the scheme is a big part of that too. It's just like, I know football coaches say it all the time. And like, sometimes I even find myself rolling my eyes at it, but like putting guys in the best positions to be the most successful. I don't know that Ohio State's always done that with its offensive line the last couple of years. And like pass blocking is one thing, but I'm talking about like run game stuff and like where they're targeting, who they're asked to block, kind of stuff. And I think Chip Kelly just has like a very clear idea of what that's supposed to look like. Now he has to get that imparted to these players and they have to understand that and then put it on the field, obviously. But I have faith that they will. So like I think you'll just see fewer instances, because I felt at times last year I would just like watch the offensive line and think to myself, like, have the five of you played together before? Like, how can this look so disjointed at times? And part of that, the answer is like, no, they haven't. They didn't play that much together, frankly, early on in the year. So that's one thing. But two, I just think like, I think a better plan, more like brain power focused on getting that offensive line in shape, which is to, like, you didn't have Kevin Wilson around last year. Now you have Justin Fry and you have Chip Kelly. I think that just puts them in better position. So I'm not saying like every single snap is going to be a 10 out of 10, because it's not, and no one is, but I think they'll have like more 10 out of 10 snaps because of a few different things coming together. And I think it'll just feel a little bit like more cleaner and cohesive to us who watched this line play last year, if that makes sense.
That cohesiveness, I remember there were public conversations after Notre Dame. Josh Fryer, I think, comes most clearly to mind, talking, and I guess Carson Hinsman did this as well, like talking about, oh, well, we just figured out how to communicate a little bit better. This was the first time we'd ever done that on the road. But even a month later at Wisconsin, it still felt disjointed. They won. Yep. They made enough plays to win the game. by and large, I think the pass protection like held up mostly to a level that Ohio State needed. But that's where it's like, we've talked about Chip Kelly's influence, and that's where it feels like the most impactful for the scheme. Because we've all talked about stretch of the boundary ad nauseum, but that's maybe just one example of a broader, I don't know, symptom that is, or illness that's infected Ohio State, which is like finding out how to fix the running game for the offensive line's sake. Like, it's not, I don't think last year, and I don't expect it this year, that it's a lack of talent or ability. I don't think that this team is devoid of that. I don't believe it.
No, I don't think it's devoid of it. It might be arguably a little, I don't know, less than it should be. Maybe like it's a hard thing with the offensive line, because like most other positions at Ohio State are just recruited at such a high level, and like the depth of talent is extraordinary. And that's not always the case with the offensive line. But it's, I don't look at that group and like, oh, they all stink. Like I think there are good players there for sure. And I think last year was probably like a little bit of a perfect storm of like some of those talent misses, like kind of coming home the roost a little bit. And then he like, you bring in a transfer, you're playing a redshirt freshman center who's never played before. You got a guy at right tackle who was playing left tackle all spring, and like you thought maybe prior to that was more likely to be a guard. And then you had, you know, Matthew Jones and Donovan Jackson, who were like kind of the stalwarts there, but arguably like had to improve their game too. It was just like a lot had to work at the same time for that line to be really good or even good at points last year. And it's a tough ask, and I'm not saying that as a way of making excuses for them. But I do think it's a little bit of an explanation of as to why it looked so ugly at times last year. But you hope that you go through that. And I know they're still replacing pieces this year, clearly, and they got to find some starters still, or at least one starter still. But I think having gone through some of those struggles last year, what will make them better this year? And I'm kind of with you. Like I don't know that it's like a glaring lack of talent. I think it's, you know, bad timing maybe more than anything else.
Yeah, I think so much of the perception is clouded by the Cotton Bowl, which was abysmal and hard to get out of your brain, which I certainly understand. Everyone who watched it or had to sit through it in AT&T Stadium will recognize the frustration, but you almost have to remove that. I'm trying to be better about that when thinking about what this season looks like for Donovan Jackson or Josh Simmons or Josh Fryer. Like, they did go out in the second half in the Big House and like put together a virtuoso drive on the ground.
They were
capable of doing it. And they also, the game ended on a misstep in the trenches and led to a sack and Kyle McCord getting hit. And like, I don't know if it's a consistency thing or again, tapping in. Sometimes it feels like Ohio State with Ryan Day would get bored of things that were working. Like, could they have done that for the entire second half to Michigan? I don't know if they could have or couldn't have, but we didn't get a chance to find out. Like, they had the ability to be one of the best offensive lines in the country, even though we talked about all these, like, the shuffling of positions and the lack of cohesion and, like, new faces and new places. Like, they still showed that they could have done that against one of the best defenses in the country. They did do it. They just didn't do it. They didn't maybe even have the opportunity to do it as much as we would have liked to see.
I still don't know what the heck happened in the Cotton Bowl, like, because I'm with you. Like, I thought early in the year that group had a real opportunity to like be on an upward trajectory the entire year, and it probably wasn't that. Not that they got worse or like continued to take steps back. Maybe at times it did feel a little bit like two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. Like with individuals, maybe less so than the collective, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like the Michigan game, I thought they played okay. Like, they didn't play great, they didn't play terribly. The game ended a kind of an ugly moment for the offensive line, but that drive is in my head too, where they just pounded the ball and ran it down Michigan's throat and scored a touchdown. It's like that was in there all along, I think. They were able to bring it out in that particular moment, and you wish they could have brought it out in more moments throughout the season. But then, like, the Cotton Bowl was just the Cotton Bowl was like a manifestation, I think, of everyone's fears about what the offensive line was going to be for the entirety of the 2023 season, and it wasn't that way. But somehow it came to a head in that game, and I know they moved some guys around, and Nenek Famahi did not have a particularly good game, but like even guys who had played reasonably well throughout that year played bad against Missouri. So I don't know what happened there. I'm mostly willing to flush that game because it did feel like such an outlier, but I do think that contributes greatly to the general sense of unease that I still feel about this offensive line, just sort of from the public or Ohio State fans watching and wanting to make sure that this isn't the group that holds Ohio State back from accomplishing what it wants to do.
So last week while you were gone, and I published on ohiostate.rivals.com our take two on the offensive line. So I wanted to do more research on this stat that I had kept throwing out from Josh Fryer. So you were gone, and I feel like I had to step into the offensive line void and then go peer through the PFF stats. And I'd said this before, and the number wound up being 13 for Josh Fryer with pressures allowed. And I thought, well, I don't know. What does that mean? One per game seems like pretty bad, especially if they all turn into sacks. But like, so I had to play with the filters, use all the education that you've imparted upon me. So tackles that played that had 400 or more pass reps, according to PFF, which, again, you could take for a grain of salt. But this, according to them, only 5 tackles in the entire country allowed fewer than the 13 that Josh Fryer did. That's pretty darn good. Now, it doesn't change the fact that they half of them turned into sacks.
Yeah.
But,
it's,
like...
It's not... Here's the thing about sacks. Like, you don't want to give up the pressures that allow them initially, for sure. You got to cut down on those. But it's not the offensive tackle's fault that the quarterback just keeps drifting backwards.
And one of them was the end of half situation where it was like, why is Ohio State running a play at all with an injured quarterback? And Josh Freier seemed to agree. He's like, we shouldn't be doing anything. Yeah. And that and the pressure came right around him for a sack and another ankle injury. But it's like, so I can understand if people have heard me bring up that stat and say, well, you can't just write off the sacks. And I'm not trying to. You can't let that happen. But I also don't think that it is fair to pin them all on Josh Freier.
I think that that's true of every offensive lineman, I think, right? And it, we're talking about Josh because he happens to be the guy in that spot that gave up some of those pressures that led to sacks. But, like, it is a symbiotic relationship between offensive lineman and quarterback when you talk about, like, what leads to a sack happening. And I think, like, we're talking about offensive lineman, not necessarily Will Howard, but I think he factors in here, like, the reason that Will Howard, I think, or the reason that I think Ohio State is better off this year with Will Howard at quarterback than maybe it would have been with Kyle McCord had he stayed, or probably anybody else in that room at the moment, is like Will Howard knows how to handle pressure. He's not going to like drift into it and get himself sacked if an offensive lineman happens to lose a rep, and no offensive lineman anywhere wins every single rep. So like that's not taking the onus off of Josh Freier, who has to be better than he was last year, and Josh Simmons has to be better than he was last year at protecting the quarterback. Everyone has to be, but the quarterback plays a hand in that too, and the lack of, like, savvy against pressure, I think, had a not insignificant hand in the amount of sacks that Ohio State, or at least the amount of sacks that it felt like Ohio State was giving up last year.
All right, so you have to pick. Spring camp is over. What will the starting lineup be?
I think the starting lineup will be Josh Simmons and Donovan Jackson, obviously, on the left side.
Yep.
Seth McLaughlin at center. Mm-hmm. Josh Freier at right tackle and Tigger Shibboleth.
Oh, regard. you tried to okie doke me there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think I don't know. I'm probably doing the thing that I say to tell people not to do, which is like put way too much into a spring game. But I liked the two. I think it was two drives that I saw at a Tigger at right guard with the ones, and also took note of like he was the one that got the most work at right guard with the ones, and maybe that's like a. We want to make sure this guy sticks around kind of thing, so you give him more snaps. I understand that sometimes can factor into decision-making for a spring game, so I'm not trying to make too much of it, but I thought it looked good out there together with Josh Freier and Tigger Shibboleth playing next to each other. Certainly Carson Hinsman, I think, will have a say in that conversation, and Luke Montgomery as well. Like I think those are the four guys, Josh Freier, Tigger, Carson, Luke, to figure out the right side of the offensive line. And I think the rest of it is probably set. Like I would be surprised if left tackle, left guard, and center is anything other than Josh Simmons, Donovan Jackson, Seth McLaughlin.
I took note of it as well, just the fact that Tegra was playing guard at all, because for the first half of camp, it was like Tegra's in the competition at tackle, and that's where he's going to be at. And I had, you know, I guess recklessly speculated, well, maybe that's because Tegra wants to be at tackle, and that's the thing that they're accounting for. And then everyone came to. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not trying to continue down that path, but just there was a shift somewhere in the middle of camp. Where it was like, well, Tegra's going to compete with Josh Freier. Maybe he forces Josh Freier to guard. That did at the end of camp, the opposite happened, and that's why I think that was significant.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And I was like, if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out when they said that Tegra was like playing tackle, and I was like, I just think he needs to get a shot at guard, and that's probably also putting far too much stock into like what's said at a podium, and especially in the spring where we didn't watch a lot of practice, and then like I think it was Bob one day we were in here at Roosters doing the Monday show, and he said like, no, Tegra's doing some guard stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll calm down. So, but I was happy to see it in the spring game, and I'm glad that it looked good. And I understand that, like, two drives in a spring game does not mean it's going to look good when Ohio State goes and plays in Nelson Stadium against Oregon. There's a lot of time between now and then. But if my personal preference at the moment, if I'm picking, like, the best five in the ideal configuration from what they have on hand, it would be Tegra at right guard and Josh Freier at right tackle.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's it's wild to think that we're like 3-4 years removed from Ohio State taking the approach. It's like, well, before you can play tackle, you do need to play guard. Paris Johnson, yeah. Darren Munford, you can play guard. Like, and then they would go into some of these camps, and it's like, no. They can't do both. Tegra can only play tackle. Like, what? Why did Paris Johnson have to do this then?
I get it with a younger player, like if you want to just like really focus him on one thing, but like Tegra's going into his third year now.
Right.
So like he should be beyond that. And I think that he is. Like, it's good to have that flexibility. Like, God forbid anything happens up front. Like, that's the other thing with Ohio State. They've been like remarkably healthy on the offensive line. Most years, yeah. But it's a long season, as Ryan Day has said countless times. Like, they're going to need more than their five. Chip Kelly says they need 10. I don't know that they need 10, although it'd be great.
He's getting greedy now that he's at Ohio State. I don't think he said that at UCLA.
Like at Louisville, at UCLA, we had three. So, like, can we get 10 at Ohio State? So, but they're going to need the depth, I think. So, it's like, it's good that Tegra has flexibility. It's good that Carson Hinsman has flexibility with guard and center. Even if that doesn't lead to a starting job, I think that's tremendously valuable. And then Luke Montgomery, too, I think clearly has tackle guard flexibility, too. And it's okay to me, again, my personal preference, like it's okay to me if Luke Montgomery is still a year away. Mm-hmm. Even if we were like all very excited about the idea of like this kid, like borderline five-star prospect stepping up to be a starter potentially as a sophomore, maybe he hits a wall at the end of spring practice. If that means he's not a starter but more just like a depth guy, maybe he does some of the big package Bison stuff again this year, I think that's totally okay and does not derail his career in any way whatsoever and pencil him in to be a starter in 2025 if that's the case.
It's hard to play offensive line. It just it is.
Yeah, like, it is.
It's physically demanding. It's mentally demanding. It's not a knock on anyone if they're not able to do it as a true sophomore. And I don't know, and I'm not saying that he can't. There's still a full summer ahead of him and a training camp after that. But it seemed like there were – and Ohio State is giving him every opportunity to show that he can. And it won't – they're not going to hold it against him if he can't. They're trying to find out, are you at that level? Are you like Paris Johnson that you can handle this as a true sophomore and be a starter? Like, if you can, great. I think Ohio State would do backflips if he shows that. I think there were some moments in spring where some of that realization was even registering for Luke Montgomery himself. That's like, this is a lot that maybe, you know, adding on the weight and dealing with a Tyleek Williams 50 times in a row, it's like, that's not going to be that easy. And maybe it would be better if I had another year of development before that became my full-time job.
Yeah, he was much more realistic about the proposition than I think a lot of us were, which is good for him.
That's like good for him.
It's good for him to have an understanding and sort of a self-awareness about the position that he was in. But you are correct. And like, even if he ended spring in like a slightly worse off position than he started spring, and I even hesitate to say that, plenty of time for him this summer and in August to like regain that position and be a starter in the fall. Like, I'm not picking him to be one now, but you know, I've been wrong before.
Yeah, I mean, we're not turning off the engine. We're just tapping the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, and regardless, he'll have a role. I really do think they're going to do a lot, not a lot, but more with like extra offensive lineman packages this year, whether that's Luke or Tegra or Carson, like whatever. They have some experience there and just guys who are like a little older and like physically mature that I think can help them. So I'm on alert for them to like regularly play like 6-7 guys, even if the starting five remains somewhat rigid.
Maybe you should have asked Kevin Wilson to do that instead of playing 5 wide receivers. I bet he would have done it.
He probably would have done it, yeah. In hindsight, asking him to play 5-5 receivers. asking the tight end's position coach, why did you ever play with a tight end, is probably not the best course of questioning.
The coach's clinic is where all of my favorite things happen. I wish they would do it like 5 times a year.
Yeah,
those conversations are great. And I learned a lot about offensive line play, which I'm now trying to use so that I can keep up with Bill Landis to break down stuff on Trench Tuesdays on the podcast daily. Hopefully I did my best. If not, I'm sorry. And thank you for watching. He's Bill Landis. I'm Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.